Good. Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. As we talk about what's in a name, a powerful name, and your authority in Christ. There's three different titles that I could give it. But those are the three things that will come up in this message. What's in a name, a powerful name, and your authority in Christ Jesus. So Acts chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together. Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. Father, the Holy Spirit would teach us what we need to learn tonight. Remind us of the things we need to be reminded of, that we need to remember. And Father, we thank you that there is a name in Jesus Christ. It's the most powerful name in all the world. It's the most powerful name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And Father, we thank you that we can call upon the name of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that just even hearing the name of Jesus and even breathing the name of Jesus out of our own lips, it really does bring comfort. Lord, it brings security knowing that our Lord and Savior is always near us. He's watching over us. He's interceding on our behalf. And Father, he has prepared a place for us in heaven, and we look forward to seeing him face to face one day. But thank you, Father, we have this personal relationship that we can walk, Father, as close as we want to with you. And Father, may we draw closer to you tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think all of us are familiar with this account in Acts chapter 3. It's probably one of my favorite. You're probably like me, and you have a lot of favorite accounts in Scripture. And I'm the one that gets to preach all the time, so I get to tell you my favorite accounts and bring them up, because I always bring up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always bring up Paul and Silas in the jail at midnight singing and praising God. But Acts chapter 3 talks about an unnamed man who was lame from his mother's womb. He never walked a day in his life. And the fact that all the people knew who he was. It wasn't some stranger coming through town that, you know, all of a sudden was healed, but they knew because they passed by him every time that they would go into the temple, every time they would go into the house of God. They'd pass by this man who was brought to the beautiful gate, and he laid there to beg and ask for money, and ashamed of it, because Peter had to say, "Look on us." So the man, you know, was kind of shameful of having to live that way. But his life was changed in a moment because he was in the right place at the right time. He was in his place where he always was every day. He was at the house of God, never going in, but on this day he was able to go into the house of God, walking and leaping and praising God. He had never done that before. Now, we know that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. That is why the devil has, I'll say, tried to dumb down the name of Christ. There's still power in the name of Christ, even when people use it as a curse word, because just hearing the name of Jesus, there's authority behind that name. There's power behind that name. And tonight I want us to see that you and I have authority in Christ by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, Peter here tells us in verse number 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He simply says, in the name of Jesus Christ, and that man has to put his faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, no doubt the man has heard about Jesus. Maybe he has seen Jesus from a distance. So he knows the name of Jesus, and he puts his faith in that name, grabs Peter by the hand. Peter helps lift him up, and when he's lifted up, man, he receives strength in his ankle bones. He's able to walk like he's never walked before. No one had to teach him. He just started walking because that's the power of Christ in a life of a person. Now, I want you to go with me. Keep a finger here, but go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I just want to get into our mind what it means to have authority. Because we're going to look at some different places tonight. And again, I'm going to bring it down to the fact that you and I do have authority. The devil does not have authority in our life as a born-again believer, because our life has been given over to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power, but he has the authority over our life. And here in John chapter 20, Jesus marvels over the faith of a centurion. In John chapter 20 and verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. Oh, you know what? I bet that's not it. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep a finger there, but then go further back to Matthew chapter 8. Keep a finger in John chapter 20, but go back to Matthew chapter 8. Oh, let's see here. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. You know, even back up to verse number 5. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Now, before I read on, I want you to look at what the centurion says. A centurion is someone, he's going to say, you know what, just read on for a second. Verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." All right, now here's a centurion who has authority, but he's also under authority. There's someone above him that gives him commands, but he also operates in the authority of the one above him. And those that are under him operate in the authority of that centurion. That centurion has all authority to tell those under him what to do, but then he has to submit to authority above him. But he operates in the authority of the one that's over him. Now, this centurion, I want you to notice in verse 8. All right, now this is a man who has authority. This is a man who is a Roman centurion. He is a man that has rule over the Jews. But when he comes to Jesus, notice how he addresses Jesus in verse number 8. He does not address him by his name Jesus. He addresses him by Jesus' authority and position. He says, Lord. That's admitting that Jesus is above him. That's admitting that Jesus has all power. That's admitting that Jesus is the ultimate ruler. He is the God. He says, Lord. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then he explains, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say, this man go, and he goeth, to another come, and he cometh, to my servant do this, and he doeth it. All right, and Jesus marvels at the fact that he has such faith that he just wants Jesus to speak the word, because again, the centurion understands authority. All right, I mean, it's just like authority in the workplace. There is someone who's in charge that tells people under them what to do. And those managers tell people under them what to do. I mean, there's a chain of command, all right? There's authority. I want you to look, if you're there, look at John chapter 20, if you still got your finger there, and look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now there's a chain of command. There's the Heavenly Father, there's Jesus Christ, and then there are the disciples that he says, now I'm sending you. Jesus was sent by the Father to fulfill the Father's will. And Jesus is commissioning the disciples to go and to fulfill his will in this world. So again, that authority, Jesus gives them his authority to be able to do his will. Again, we understand authority. We understand the chain of authority, how it operates. And the fact is that the centurion can go and he can do what he's supposed to do, and people have to listen to him because of the authority that's over his head. Now, for the sake of the kids in here, that is like when your father tells you to go and tell one of your siblings to come here, go tell them that daddy says so. And I try to be conscious of that. Sometimes I'll send them and I'll call out and say, tell them daddy said so. Because what happens when a sibling comes to another sibling and tries to tell them what to do? Who are you? You're not daddy. You're not mommy. But when they come and say, daddy said or mommy said, well, now they have some authority behind what they're saying because they were sent to bring a message. They were sent to tell them that the one that's in charge wants to see them, wants them to do something. So go back, if you would, Acts chapter 3. I just want our minds to be on this fact of there's authority in a name. There's power in a name. And obviously, speaking about the name of Jesus Christ tonight, he has given us authority in our life. I mean, you know what? That's why you as a child of God, as a born-again believer, when the devil's picking on you, you can say in the name of Jesus Christ, go home. Leave me alone. I mean, you can rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, and guess what? He has to listen because you're a child of God, all right? He can't do anything to you that our Heavenly Father does not allow. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 3, again in verse number 6, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter knows that it's not his ability, he has no power whatsoever of his own to heal this man. He knows that all power is of God. He knows that Jesus Christ is the healer, and he simply puts it out there to this man in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name you have to put your faith and trust in. There's power in that name. All right? Now notice in verse number 16. In verse number 16, he says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. So faith in the name of Jesus Christ has made this man strong. And in verse 17 through 26, then Peter starts preaching in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. He starts preaching to those that are there the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you notice in verse number 12, Peter saw the people coming and wondering greatly and looking upon him and John. And he said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" But obviously it was the name of Jesus Christ. Again, the devil hates that name. The devil hates the name of Jesus so much that he wants to outlaw that name. It's nothing new in our country. Even here, these disciples in chapter number 4 are going to be commanded not to speak in that name. But I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now, they already heard. They already heard because, look, there was such an excitement in the temple. Man, there's people talking about what had happened. This man is a walking testimony of what the power of Christ can do. And just putting your faith and trust in the name of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done, man, it brings a change in your life. But the religious rulers, I mean, they come and they say, by what power? Who gave you the power to do this? And by what name are you doing this? You know, who gave you this authority? Who gave you this power? "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And look at verse 18. Tonight, I just want to remind us of the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not a name to be ashamed of. It's not a name not to be mentioned among God's people and by God's people that have put their faith and trust in the one that bears that name. Again, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I mean, the name Jesus Christ. Again, it does when the name Jesus Christ commands authority. I mean, it speaks of power. I mean, he has all power. The devil's not going to push Christ off his throne. It is an established throne from eternity past through eternity future. But the devil wants people not to speak the name of Christ. Doesn't want people to believe in the name of Christ. He wants people to think, well, that's just a curse word. It's just a byword. It's not a big deal. You look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world.'" Now Jesus tells his disciples, as he's telling us, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. But he also, at the end, says, "I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." He says, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So you think about just even teaching the Bible. The Bible is to be taught in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And it can only be done through Jesus Christ giving that authority and that power. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus told his disciples he has all power in heaven and earth, and he sends them forth with that same power. So look at verse number 10 of Acts chapter 4. Because in verse number 6, they ask, or verse number 7, they ask Peter and John, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And what did they do? "They were used of God. A great miracle has been performed upon a man who was lame his whole life, never walked a day in his life." Everybody knew who he was. And in verse number 10 of chapter 4, obviously Peter answers. He answers these people. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, what a rebuke that is to these religious rulers for Peter to say that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. I can almost see, and the scripture doesn't say, but I can almost see Peter pointing the finger at them, just like the prophet Nathan pointed the finger at David and said, thou art the man. I can almost see Peter saying, whom ye crucified, because they're the ones that rallied the people together. They're the ones that turned them over to Pilate and said, our law doesn't allow us to kill him, but yours does, and we want you to kill him. But they asked, by what name or by what power have you done this? And he gives that name, Jesus Christ. You know, the name of Christ is still powerful today. The name of Jesus Christ can still heal people and heal their lives that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But again, we live in a world that's anti-Christ. And honestly, we can't expect this world to be for God. It's against God. Because the God of this world, the devil, has blinded the eyes, blinded the minds of those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's trying his best not to get that name spread. He's trying to get his best not to get that name spoken of. Because you know what? There's something in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's powerful. I mean, it's just not a name. You can go around saying Troy. It's not going to turn heads. Do you know what? When you say Jesus, heads actually turn. Some people get a little uncomfortable with that name because of the life that they're living. But the child of God, the born-again believer, should not be uncomfortable. That should be a name that's often breathed out of our mouth. Not just in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, but throughout the day where you're talking to the Lord and you're asking the Lord to be with you and to help you. And again, telling the devil to leave you alone because your Savior, Jesus Christ, is standing right there to take care of you and to protect you. Now again, Peter answers the question, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, just in case they wondered, you know, what Jesus? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right? The one that was born in Bethlehem, the one that was raised up, grew up in Nazareth, the one that they know of. All right, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I mean, just the power of the name of Christ, that someone putting their faith and trust in that name, their life can be made whole. Again, you think about it, these religious rulers did not want them to speak in that name. Look at verse 17. I mean, these men represent the world system. They represent what the world does not want. I mean, our society and our world and our country will celebrate everything but Jesus Christ. They'll celebrate Pride Month, but they will not celebrate Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, who has power over death and hell. I mean, he's got the keys of death and hell, has power to give life. But and I say that because, listen, these men that are sitting in a position of religious rulers, they're not excited about what has happened. They weren't excited about some other people being healed by Jesus either. Because remember, before I even read on, back when Jesus was in the temple and there was a man there with a withered hand, the priests came and they were looking and they were waiting because it was the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus asked them, is it right to do good or wrong? I mean, on the Sabbath day, I mean, shouldn't you still do good? Shouldn't you still help people? And the fact that Jesus, the only thing he said was stretch forth your hand. I love that. Didn't touch him. Just said, stretch forth your hand. The Bible records he stretched his hand forth and it was made whole. I mean, it was just as soon as he stretched it forth, I mean, it was just made whole. And boy, that infuriated the priests. That infuriated the religious people. You know why? Because, and I'm not picking on I'm not condemning people that are caught up in a religious system. But religion does not help anybody. Jesus Christ does. But those that are caught up in a religious system, it aggravates them when other people are not going along with what they're doing and other people just simply have faith. These men that are mentioned in verse number 6 are agitated, they're angry, and they're not happy that someone's life has been made whole by Jesus Christ, even though Jesus Christ is not physically there, but through his disciples who were yielded to Jesus Christ and spoke the name of Jesus Christ, and this man put his faith in Jesus Christ and his life was made whole. In verse number 17, actually, back up if you would. Verse 15. Before I read this, I mean, wouldn't you think people would just be happy for people's lives who have been changed by the power of God? But not everybody is. Unfortunately, not everyone is happy for someone whose life has changed. And I'll say 95% of the time, it's because they're miserable with their life and they're not happy that someone else's life has been blessed by God. They're not happy that someone else is being helped by God. And they're still trying to do it in their own strength and they just cannot seem to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who's already finished the work and who will help us. But here in verse number 15, but when they, those men that were gathered together, religious rulers, but when they had commanded them, Peter and John, to go aside out of the council, you know, you guys go over there, you know, go out, go away from us so we can talk. They conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. So everyone knows about it. I mean, word spreads. Everybody knows about it. Everyone's seen the man. Everyone knows a miracle. Everyone's praising God for it. All right? But they say, what shall we do to these men? They're not wanting to congratulate them. They're not wanting to give them the key to the city. They're not wanting to recognize them in public for a good deed that they did. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You know what? You can't deny the power of God. You can't deny a life that's been changed. You cannot deny what God's done in someone's life. But, verse 17, that it spread no further among the people. And just let you know, they're not happy about it. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They can't even say the name. Just let's make them not speak in this name, because there's power in that name. There is authority in that name. I want you to look at Acts. Keep a finger here. Go to Acts chapter 19. These men are trying to steal the authority away from Jesus Christ in the life of these disciples. They do not want them to speak in the name of Jesus or teach in the name of Jesus. And the only way that you can speak the things of God and the Word of God is through the authority of God. And these religious rulers, these Christ haters, are trying to steal that authority away and cause Peter and John not to speak in that name. They want Peter and John to obey them rather than God. In Acts chapter 19, look at verse 14 through 17. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, you know, back up just to verse 13. so everyone understands what it is that they did. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. All right, so these men that are into exorcism, trying to cast out demons out of people, they took it upon themselves to call out the name of Jesus Christ over those that were possessed, trying to use authority that was not given to them. In verse 14, there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now there is authority and there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. But not everybody that uses the name of Jesus Christ has the authority to use that name or has power to back them up through that name. Now I just want you to take note in verse 15 that the evil spirit answered these men and said, Jesus I know. All right? All the demons know who Jesus is. You go through the Gospels, and when Jesus came to someone possessed, the demon would cry out. The demon, in one instance, the demon was like, I know who you are. You're the Holy One. And he rebuked that spirit not to speak. And the Bible says that thereafter, Jesus would not allow the spirits to speak or testify of who he was. So they know who he is. But isn't it a strange thing that this spirit knows who Paul is? It's a strange thing that this evil spirit, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is. Now, Paul had been to Ephesus. Lives had been changed by the power of God in Ephesus. Paul being the servant of God, preaching the name of Jesus Christ, helping people. Paul's cast out demons as well. Because remember the young woman that was possessed in Philippi. And Paul was very grieved in the spirit because she followed them every day saying, these men bring us salvation. Bring the message of salvation. I mean, she was saying things that were true, but not with the right spirit. It was an evil spirit. He was grieved in his spirit. Paul was grieved in his spirit. And the Bible records that Paul turned and rebuked the spirit out of her because he's got authority and he has power in the name of Jesus Christ. He has authority given to him by Jesus Christ. And again, this evil spirit says, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Why is that? I can understand they know Jesus because Jesus, he's God. And they know who sits on the throne of eternity. They know that they cannot just do anything to God's people. But the evil spirit knows Paul. And I want to submit to you tonight that the evil spirits know who belongs to Christ. He knows, the evil spirits, the devil knows who belongs to Christ, who is sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, who has authority. These men tried casting out a demon out of a man through the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and it did not work because they were not the children of God. They were not born again believers. They were not given the authority with that name. The name of Jesus Christ has authority, and as a child of God, you have authority. I mean, that's why, as any good Bible believing, born again Christian parent, you pray over your kids in the name of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if they're 30 years old, you still pray over them. I mean, you go back to Job. Job prayed over his adult kids, just in case they were doing anything wrong. And the reason why we're able to is because we have the authority and we have a name that we can call out. Again, when you think about it, Here in Acts chapter 3, Peter is questioned, by what power or name have you done this? And obviously he gives the answer, it's the name of Jesus Christ. What I want us to understand, I think probably everybody in this room tonight understands what I'm saying about the power in the name of Jesus Christ and the authority that comes behind it, but not everyone does. Not everyone understands that. And understands the fact, you know what? As a representative of Christ, as an ambassador of Christ, you have authority. Now, if I were to go over to Europe and say I'm here on behalf of the President of the United States of America, I don't have that authority because I don't have any office. I'm not vice president. I'm not, you know, Secretary of State. I'm just someone saying, you know what? I'm coming to you in the name of whoever the president is. And guess what? They would check me out. They wouldn't be like, oh, okay, come in, right? They would check my credentials and make sure. And then when they found out I wasn't, I probably would get arrested, thrown in prison, who knows? But what I'm saying is, listen, you have authority through the name of Jesus Christ. Not to do whatever you want, but to be able to pray in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, to be able to speak on behalf of Jesus Christ to others about the love of Christ, about the power of Christ that can change their life. Again, Peter and John, they go to the temple at the hour of prayer. They're just going up there because they want to be in God's house at the hour of prayer. They want to spend some time in the Lord's house with God's people praying, and there's a man there who's asking for help. He's begging for money. And Peter says the greatest thing, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give unto thee. You know what? Sometimes we think we can't help people because we don't have extra, we don't have enough, or man, if I had $5,000, I'd give it to them. If I had, you know, whatever it may be that they want. But you know what? We need to try to help with their physical needs, but their greatest need is spiritual. And the devil's always going to try to get you not to say the name of Jesus Christ. But there'll always be people around you that use the name in a derogatory, blaspheming way. So don't be afraid of the name of Jesus Christ. There's too many Christians that are trying to not look like a Christian. They're trying to blend into the world instead of being like the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Let people know that, you know what, you stand behind the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, just a couple of verses and then we'll end. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. The Bible says, as Paul writes to young Timothy, a young preacher, trying to encourage him, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what? We've been given power. We've been given a sound mind. We've been given that power of love and of a sound mind. God's the one that's given that to us. And just hold on a second, because there's a couple of verses before that that I want to read. Do this with me. Read verse 7 through 9. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And what's the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ? His death, burial, and resurrection. He was mocked. He was crucified. He was ridiculed. Yet he rose victoriously. over death, because he is the giver of life. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, Paul says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Again, not being ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ and not being ashamed of that name, because why? Because we have put our faith and trust in that name because of Jesus' testimony. I didn't see him crucified. I didn't see him scourged. I didn't see him being laid in that tomb and the stone rolled over the mouth of that tomb. I didn't see the empty tomb. I didn't see him when he ascended up on high, when he was there, and he departed from his disciples after being with them for 40 days. But I put my faith and trust in his testimony that he's the Son of God, that he came to lay down his life for me. There's another spot where Paul actually encourages Timothy not to be afraid of those that are trying to kind of push him back, because he was a young preacher. And he wanted young Timothy to stand up. Don't allow, you know, those that are older than you, you know, to try to push you into a corner and do what they want you to do. Because you have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. You have power through the name of Jesus Christ. Not power to abuse, right? But you have that ability. He's given that. I want you to think about what John chapter 1 and verse 12 says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So again, he gave us the power to become his sons. And again, we're representatives of Christ, and we have that authority over us. He's the head of the church. He's the head of our life. He is our Redeemer. He's our Savior, but he's transferred authority to us to be able to preach, teach, and speak in his name. Last place, go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25 through 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. Whereof I am made a minister, Paul speaking here to the church at Colossae, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, tonight, I just wanted to remind God's people of the power and authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And because we bear that name, he has given us authority. Again, not to abuse, not to tell people what to do, but we can definitely, you know, again, rebuke the devil. We can definitely use the name of Jesus Christ. Because I don't know, I mean, if you're trying to live for the Lord, all those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. The devil's going to pick on you. His demons are going to try to railroad you at times, but you and I have the authority to speak in the name of Jesus Christ and to rebuke the devil, okay? And again, I have heard with my own ears as I listen to someone try to rebuke the devil in their own strength and their own power, and it's... No, we weren't saved to fight the devil. That was won at Calvary. But again, the devil does come picking at us sometimes. And when we speak the name of Jesus Christ, look, he hates that name. Again, even in the days of Christ, that's why, the days of the disciples, that's why those religious rulers who were not trying to lead the people according to God's word. They were leading the people according to their traditions and what they wanted, and they hated the name of Christ and didn't want anyone speaking the name of Christ. That's not only anti-Christ, but that's satanic. That's satanic, not wanting someone to speak the name of Jesus Christ in a very loving, powerful, authoritative way. Jesus Christ has all power. And we live in a world, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, they censor the name of Christ in so many, at different times, on social media, different platforms. Now, thankfully, I'll say this, thankfully, we haven't been censored yet, and we have our devotions that go out on social media that we put out every day, every week. Why? So people can hear the gospel, so people can hear the truth. But listen, there's going to come a day where it's cut off. There's going to come a day where, you know what, I guarantee you, where a law is made where they want to try to say you can't speak in that name. It's amazing we still have In God We Trust on our currency. Because listen, we live in an anti-world, we live in an anti-country. Now praise the Lord for the remnant that's in our country that still believes in the name of Jesus Christ. But what I want us to understand tonight and be reminded on a Wednesday, the middle of the week, where maybe some things haven't gone well for you, maybe there's been some difficulties, some trials, some setbacks, some disappointments, and anytime there is, boy, the devil's right there. His minions are right there to try to get in your ear, to get in your mind, that if God loved you, he wouldn't allow these things to happen. But you know why God allows bad things to happen? Why did God allow a man to be born lame? Now, if God was a loving God, wouldn't he just allow everyone to be born healthy? No health defects, no birth defects, no problems whatsoever? Now I know because of sin and the curse of sin, there's a lot of things that happen. But you look at the power of God in the life of an unnamed man who never walked a day in his life, and the day that he put his faith and trust in the name of Jesus Christ, his life was made whole. It wasn't just his legs or his ankles or his feet. His entire life was made whole, because he put his faith in the name of Jesus Christ and what that name stood for and what Jesus Christ had done. Now, it doesn't, again, we live in a time where God's people need to stand out more and more and more, where people need to know we stand on the name of Jesus Christ. That's a name above every name. I mean, that's a name that has made my life whole. I put my faith and trust in that name. That's a powerful name. And the fact that I bear that name as a Christian, should never be ashamed of that. Because the only reason why I'm a Christian, I know there's other denominations, other religions that truly are not born-again believers that use that name Christian very wrongfully, because they were first called Christians at Antioch because of their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's still a name to be proud of. Now what? I'm a Christian because of Jesus Christ. And there's power in that name. And you know what? Somebody wants to use it as a derogatory word, I'm going to tell them how sweet that name is. You know what? It takes boldness to be able to do that. But Peter was able to speak boldly to these religious rulers about the authority that he was given, the authority of Jesus Christ and the power that's in that name. And that's why I didn't even read it, but there's the verse after where the religious rulers, they tell them, don't speak in that name. And Peter answers them, whether it's right to obey God or you, you judge. But he goes on to say, we can't help but to speak the things that we've seen and heard because of Jesus Christ. So there's power in that name. There's authority in that name. And guess what? You bear the name of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you.